All right, this evening, we are going to, we are going to work on John 15, actually. And just a series of things just caused me to be here. We've had several verses now. We have had Philippians 4:8, think on these things, think on these things. And then last week's verse, Proverbs 31:25, she is clothed with strength and dignity and does not have to fear the future, does not have to fear the future. Well, which led to this for me in studying, it led to this, that how is it that we, you know, can keep ourselves thinking on these things? How is it that we can keep ourselves confident and not be worried or stressed about what the future holds for any of us? How is it that we can do that? Well, how we can do that is actually in John 15. In John 15, it is the last words that Jesus will instruct his disciples of before he goes to be with the Father, before the next things that happen are his crucifixion. So this is prior to the Last Supper. And if you knew, and Jesus did, that he was going out, he would reserve the words. He would reserve special words to put in them. You, if you knew, a precious friend of mine, her dad was, he was passing away of a heart thing, and they called the entire family in. This was many years ago. They called the entire family in, and his last thing that he did as he lay in that bed, passing away, really, to go be with Jesus. He was quite the man of God. And he sat there, and what he did was share last words with them. What a treasure and what a blessing. He blessed each of those kids and grandchildren. He blessed them, and he shared his heart. What an amazing thing to do. And this is what Jesus did. This is exactly what Jesus did. He shared his heart. And so we have John 15 because he shared his heart. And it answers for us so many of the things, so many of the verses that have led up to this, have been instructions to us, which are much easier said than done. Literally much easier said than done. Not that we want to do them. And John 15 is going to help us with the how of that. So I'm going to start, and I'm going to read, though I won't read the entire chapter, I am going to read for a bit. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch that does not produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so that they will produce even more. You have already been pruned for greater fruitfulness by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful apart from me. Yes, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Those who remain in me, and I in them, will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you cannot do anything, or you can do nothing. So that is the basis of this evening. And if we go further into John 15, skipping ahead a bit, John 15, 16, that verse says this: you did not choose me, but I have chosen you. I have appointed you to go and bear fruit. That is what he says. that you, that fruit that will last, fruit that will last. So to begin with, we see that Jesus is the true vine. We are sure of this because I just read it to you in John 15, 1. I am the true vine. And he said it prior, just prior to the Lord's Supper, when the bread and the wine would be given as symbols of his sacrifice and his offering upon Calvary. So he says to his disciples, I'm the real, genuine vine. I am. And of course, the vine is the source of the fruit. So any fruit which appears on the vine does not derive its life from the branches or from the leaves. Doesn't, that's not where it gets its life. Of course, that's not. It gets it from the vine itself. So also, any fruit that appears on the vine is not the result of any effort on the part of the branches or the leaves. So let's go to the second part of this truth that we're discussing this evening. We're told in John 15, 1, that my Father is the gardener. He is the one who tends the vine and busies himself with the branches. But who are the branches? Well, in verse 5, it tells us, I'm the vine, you're the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. So the branches then are the believers. They're the Christians in this verse. And a Christian is a branch in the vine, one who is joined to Christ, one who is united to him and deriving his life from him. He is a participant in his very nature. It tells us that again in 2 Peter 1:4. A branch is not a dead stick. It is a living thing. Now, sometimes it can have that appearance. I actually have grapevines in my backyard. And seriously, they're like the last thing that gets any leaves or anything on. So much so that some years, and it never fails, but some years I go, wow, I wonder if they bit the big one this winter. Or I think that because I just don't see anything for such a long time. So we could mistake them for dead when they are not. If you had an over exuberant pruner, he could go to work and actually be clipping off things that were alive, not dead. So as these branches, we know that we are the branches. We are to bear fruit. It is our function. In John 15, verse 2, it says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit is what? Cut off. Okay, cut off. All right. He will bear much fruit. In verse 5, it says, he will bear much fruit. And again in verse 16, we read that we are chosen and appointed to do what? To go and bear fruit. So the Lord is looking for fruit in our lives. He's looking for fruit. And as he looks, we're going to turn to Hosea 14, 8. Okay. Hosea 14, 8. O Israel, stay away from idols. I am the one who looks after you and cares for you. I am like a tree that is always green, giving my fruit to you all throughout the year. Giving my fruit to you all throughout the year. So who's going to do that part? Hosea, that is Hosea. Hosea 14, 8. Hosea 14, 8. Okay, you know, bear with me this evening. YouVersion has spoiled me big, and I have had to go teach. When I'm hard copy in front of me. So, okay. So what kind of fruit are we as Christians to bear? Well, we're to bear the fruit of the Spirit. So now we'll be going to Galatians 5, 22 and 23. And you know that this is where we're going to find that precious fruit of the Spirit, okay? I'm going to read it to you out of the Amplified, probably more than once, actually. But the fruit of the Spirit, the work which His presence accomplishes. So the reason that I'm reading it to you out of the Amplified is it's very clear about whose work is accomplishing this. His presence within us accomplishes this. Love and joy and gladness, peace and patience, which is temperance and forbearance. It's kindness, it's goodness, it is faithfulness, it is meekness, it is humility, it is gentleness, it is self-control, which is self-restraint, So these verses give us an absolutely wonderful picture of what the Lord intended our lives to look like. We should be loving and joyful and restful and patient and kind and good and trustworthy and humbled and humble and disciplined. This is the fruit that we should be bearing. And these are the graces which should characterize us as Christians. It's which is going to lead me to the verse that started this whole thing, because though we've been instructed to think on these things, though we have been instructed to fix our gaze and to focus, though we've been instructed to absolutely be confident of our future and not fear it and not worry, though we've been instructed to do all of those things in all of the verses leading up to this, the Lord brought a little verse into my mind this week, and then He wouldn't let it go. And then He wouldn't let it go. And then He wouldn't let it go. So here it is, okay? And it is Song of Songs, and it is 2:15. Listen close. Catch for us the foxes, the little foxes that are ruining the vineyards while our vineyards are in blossom, while our vineyards are what? Fruitful, bearing fruit. So why do you sometimes find it difficult to think on these things? Okay, you're just about to get a big screen picture, and it is those little foxes. It is those dangerous little foxes. Okay, in 2 Corinthians, rather, 7:1. Let me go this way. Okay. All right. 2 Corinthians 7:1. And that tells us, because we have these promises, dear friends, let us cleanse ourselves from everything that can defile our body or spirit, and let us work toward complete purity because we fear God. Okay? The spirit there, that spirit there is spelled with a small s, okay? So that small s, obviously, not referring to the Holy Spirit here. That is referring to the sins of the flesh. The sins of the flesh. They are the gross sins of adultery and murder and blasphemy and drunkenness, etc., etc. Okay? the sins of the spirit that are the little foxes, okay? The little foxes are the ones that creep in. You make no mistake about it. You know when one of those big ones is on board. We know that, okay? But not so much the little sins, the little foxes, okay? The ones that creep in unnoticed and they spoil the vines and they take away the fruit. When there are three kinds, at least three categories, not, this is not an exhaustive list and there are certainly more, but there are three kinds I'm gonna go over this evening. They are the wrong things that we think. They are the wrong things that we say, and they are the wrong things that we do. Okay. If you want, they are often described as heart sins, it lip sins and behavior sins. Heart sins, lip sins, and behavior sins. So the first one, think of heart sins. Think of heart sins, the secret sins. David had something to say about that in Psalm 51:10. The things that jealousy and pride and impurity, these are the little foxes that will spoil the vineyard. The sins of the spirit that hinder the fruit of the spirit in our lives. And listen, God sees these secret sins. He sees them. He sees them. In Psalm 90, verse 8, this is Moses. This is a prayer that Moses is praying, and it is, okay. And Moses says, you spread out our sins before you, our secret sins, and you see them all. You see them all. Okay. So we want to be mindful. We want to catch the little foxes. That's what it says. We want to catch them. And it's, so how we pray there is, Lord, it says in the verse, catch for us the foxes, the little foxes, catch for us those. So it's what we mean when we say, or we pray to God, Father, put a check in my spirit when I am thinking the wrong kinds of things, when my heart is going someplace it should not go. It is, put a check in my spirit so that I stop, so that even if I'm in midstream, I get convicted of it and I stop from continuing on. So that's how we take care of that. Then the second one are the lip sins, okay? That's the wrong things that we say. And goodness gracious, it's not a gender-specific thing, that's for sure. Men say the wrong things all the time, I think. But anyway, but it is particularly something that women struggle with. It's a struggle for us, okay? The lip sins, that little fox is unruly and it is an undisciplined tongue, especially when it is a lying tongue, especially when it is a critical tongue, especially when it is a gossipy tongue. A tail-bearing, we call that tail-bearing, or gossip, you know, neither one is any better than the other. They mean the same thing, but it's so easy to slip into these. We get baited, so to speak, and it's so easy to start going somewhere where we should not go. And judging, oh please, really? Just sometimes comes second nature, and it does come out of your flesh nature, obviously, just to zip right in there and think, wow, you know, man, we need to remove the log in our own eye before we be criticizing and trying to remove that out of somebody else's or think ill of them because they participate in those things. Okay. Let me go ahead under that category and let me give you some Psalms to look up. I'm not going to go ahead and read them all, but let me give them to you. Psalm 141, verse 3. Then there is Psalm 120, verses 1 through 3. And those are the ones that you want under that heading. Under the first heading of the heart sins or the secret sins, you want Psalm 51:10 and you want Psalm 90, verse 8. All right, on to the behavior sins. On to the behavior sins. These are the sins that we commit when we act in such a way that it is obvious to any onlooker that we have an unclean heart and a wrong spirit. When we are unkind, when we are thoughtless, when we are harsh in our treatment of others, or when we are wrong in our relationship with another person, these are behavioral sins. In other words, it's gone past your thinking it. It's gone past your saying it, and now you're acting on it. Now your behavior takes it. It's the reason that it's listed as the third thing is because this is the progression. It starts all sin, little or big. It started here. It started in the thought process. It starts with the thoughts. It then often, though not necessarily has to happen this way, but then often the lips take over and we sin in that which we say or in that which we, like I said, in the gossip or whatever. Okay. But the third thing that happens is because those two things are present, you will now be having a behavior that reflects those things. You'll now be walking it out. And believe you me, that's not the thing to be walking out. Okay? These little foxes, this is how they spoil the vines. They rob our lives of the fruit of that the Holy Spirit is waiting and wanting to produce in you. That's what they do. That's what they do. Okay. And they must be rounded up and put to death. They must be rounded up and put to death. I was thinking back in Judges and I think it's Judges. It is Judges 15 verses 4 and 5. And it's actually where Samuel was taking care of the Philistines, and he chose to do it by tying foxes' tails to one another and lighting that on fire and having it run and having them run through all their fields, burning them to the ground. Okay, so keep that vivid picture in your mind if you don't think a little fox has damage to do. The little foxes have much damage to do, okay? All right. But in Galatians 5:24, it is saying, put to death the deeds of your flesh. Put to death the deeds of your flesh. All right. And in Romans 13, 14, it again says, let me find that one. Okay. 13, 14. All right. It says, yes, we should be decent and true in everything that we do so that everyone can approve of our behavior. Don't participate in wild parties and getting drunk or in adultery and immoral living or in fighting or in jealousy, but let the Lord Jesus take control of you and do not think of ways to indulge your fleshly desires. Do not think of ways to indulge your fleshly desires. So that is how you will put those little foxes, that's how you will put them to death, how we can get them out. And it's not something you can do in your strength. It's not something that you can do in your strength. But back to John 15. I love this, okay? I want to end us on this note. I want to end us on this. The Lord has chosen you, and He has planted you, and He is preparing you for a great harvest. He's getting you ready to thrive and flourish and to bear much fruit. If we will submit ourselves to His ways, His mysterious and painful though they may be at times, His ways, okay? We will find that it is all part of the process that enables us to grow and bear fruit. I love a worship song that we're singing these days, and it says, though we don't understand when we're in the pain, one day the pain all makes sense. One day it all makes sense, and it does. This fruit bearing, God is getting you ready to thrive and produce the kind of fruit that expands His kingdom and puts you in a different place with Him, So the formula for bearing this spiritual fruit and walking in freedom and spiritual effectiveness is simply this, and we hear it over and over and over again in John 15, in the entire chapter. It's abide. Abide in Christ. Remain in Him. To abide is to seek Him daily. Seek Him daily. And live according to His word. He is the true vine, and we are to receive daily nourishment from that vine in order to grow spiritually. He repeatedly says to remain in Him because it's crucial. It is crucial to your faith walk. To abide in Him, to walk in effectiveness in this world is to abide in Christ as He abides in us. It is being aware, okay? It is being aware that we have two natures, okay? We have the spirit, big S, and we have the flesh. We have the flesh. So, okay, all right, thought that was somebody trying to beep in, not, okay, all right, so if we are living by the flesh, then we are not abiding in Christ. Our flesh is our sinful nature, and it is at war with our spiritual nature. We can't produce right fruit when we are living in our flesh. See how important it is to deal with those little foxes, because pretty much you're aware when you're doing the others, but you're oftentimes not so much aware, or you're, or we're blind to it. We're a bit blind to it. But the thing that happens, okay, is that takes us down a real slippery slope, because that's got us, the flesh is the one calling the shots, because we are not abiding in the vine. Because if we were abiding in the vine, you know what? You know the instructions that we would be being given by that precious Holy Spirit? You would be being given the instructions to forgive. You would be giving the instructions to confess that and no longer do it. Okay? That's what would happen if you were abiding. So our flesh is our sinful nature, and it is at war with our spiritual nature, and we can't produce the right fruit when we are living in our flesh. So we are to crucify our flesh, and we are to walk in the Spirit. Put it to death, put it to death, put those foxes to death. We walk in the Spirit by staying connected to the vine. So let's abide in Jesus as he abides in us, and watch as our lives produce much fruit. Okay, these attributes are supernatural. They are supernatural. Our human nature does not naturally possess these qualities. It does not. But as we follow Jesus, they begin to show up in our lives. For instance, we start loving people more. We start having a greater amount of patience with people. We are showing kindness. We are showing goodness. We are being good. We are showing gentleness and self-control. When we mature in these areas, it's a good indicator that we are indeed connected to the vine and growing in our faith. But it also, the flip side of that, is that it also can serve as a warning, because if we are lacking any of these attributes, reminding it is that warning to remind us that we must repent and return to abiding in Jesus. We need his help to produce the fruits of Spirit in our life. He is who has to do that. He is who has to do that. And he will. I meant to bring a cluster of grapes with me. Grapes come in clusters. They do not come singly, though you may receive them singly sometimes in the produce aisle. It's not the way they grow. They grow in a cluster. Okay.
There you go.
Oh, yay. I love it. Thank you. Okay. So there is a cluster. And look at that cluster. Okay, just hold it up. Okay, thanks. Okay, so it's a cluster. There's a fair bit of them. Well, guess what? There's a fair bit of fruit. One is goodness. One is patience. One is kindness. One is this. They all represent that. But do you see? You don't get to, you know, I have literally had this happen before where people say, well, you know, that is, you know, I do that one, you know, I do that. Maybe it is a gentle person. Maybe they exude gentleness. Maybe that's what it is, but not so much some of the rest of them. Okay. Well, you don't get to pick and choose. That cluster is all together, and all of them are on it. You don't get to decide which fruit that God is going to produce in you. He's going to produce it all in you. He means for you to have it all. He isn't, you know, he's not just one, not just one little grape on there. All of them make the cluster. All of them make the cluster. And that's how he wants us. That's how he wants us to be rolling, okay? So he is who is going to make that possible. Jesus is the vine, and God the Father is the gardener. The fruits produced by the vine are the inward result of the working of the Holy Spirit. And we, as the believers, are the branches. So it's a clear picture of all the roles at play. The gardener, God, the Father, plants believers all over the world. And he has deliberately planted you and me right where we are. Right where we are. And he wants our branches to reach people for him. But you don't have to try to be transplanted or go someplace different. The beauty is he has done this. He, in Christians all over the world. And so he means for you to do your plant, your blooming right where you are, in your sphere of influence. I'm not saying that he may not expand that at some point in your life, but right now, he wants you to do it. He wants you to bloom where you are planted. You hear that often. He wants you to bloom where you are planted. And take this with you this week. We are blessed by God the Father. The things he blesses us with, so much he blesses us with, okay? These fruits he blesses us with as we are abiding in him and as we are spending time with him. And we are blessed to be a blessing. You are not a container. You are not supposed to just hang on to the blessing. You're not a container. You are to be a blessing. You have been blessed. Now be the blessing. Sometimes we aren't doing that and stuff gets stopped up. We get stuck, for instance. So here is something that the gardener comes through and does. Okay, in a vineyard, there will be the grapes will get heavy laden, and sometimes they will get on the ground, and they don't root, they don't do that. But that's when they get mushy. That's when they go bad. That's when they do that. So the gardener will lift them up. Okay. Kind of a painful process, by the way. Lift them up and he will prune them back and place them back to where they are fruitful to the vine, back on the trellis, back on the whatever is holding them up. So we want to not shy away from that process, and we want to keep the little foxes out of the vineyard. We want the little foxes out of the vineyard. It's those little foxes that are keeping you from, they're keeping you from thinking on all of those things in Philippians 4:8. They're keeping you from not fearing the future. They're keeping you from it. Those foxes are dangerous. They are dangerous. And I want to go again back to that verse. And I want to read it again. Catch for us, Lord, the foxes, the little foxes that are ruining our vineyard while our vineyard is in blossom. while the fruit is trying to be produced. You've got a little fox. Think about what your little foxes are. Spend some time, really. You know, it would be a great psalm to pray, "Search me, O God, and know my heart, and see if there be any way in me. Search me, God, and know my heart, and see if there be any way in me that is not right. And help me catch the little ones. I'm a little more aware of the bigger ones, but help me catch the little ones so that they do not run. They do not run and make the fruit that you have deposited in me for fruitfulness, that they do not make it be rotten. We want it to be functioning and we want it to be right. We want it to be those things. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have given us this message. We thank you for that, Lord. I know that you just have kept saying over and over and over again, this is a message, yes, for these ladies, for each and every one of these ladies, but Father, just so much, it is a message for us, and it needs, you are showing us that you do not want that happening. It's robbing the fruitfulness of our life. Please let us catch the little foxes. Help us catch the little foxes so that they no longer destroy the fruit. In your precious, precious name, amen.